Hey sis, and welcome back to the Sisters Podcast. We're your host. I'm Lois.
I'm Bree.
And we have Miss Avery again.
Hi.
Avery and I had a funny story recently, so Avery, take it away.
All right. I went down to Lois's for the weekend, you know, as besties do, and we were pulling out. Where are we going?
I don't know.
Probably Seven Brew. We're driving in her car, and we had this song blasting, and it was like, book, 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 book. And as we're driving, there's a gas station right outside of her neighborhood, and there was this dude filling up with gas, and Lois is like, is he cute? So of course we have to scout out. So we like pull up, yank the brakes, and I've got my sunglasses on tipped where I'm just peeking over, like looking with my jaw open. Wait,
for the people who are not watching this, she had her glasses like on the tip of her nose, and she was like full body turned out the window, staring at this man like a creep, like
jaw drop. And then Lois,
I was not taking it like, seriously.
She's like yanking herself up and down, clapping like to the song, checking out the dude. And then he turns and makes eye contact with me while I'm like looking like, oh. And so I just immediately turn and go, drive. It was so bad
because I was clapping like a crazy person, like full on up and down, like full body movement. And I mean, like, the song was blasting. I don't know, when we do that sometimes when we just need like a, okay, we got to hype each other up, you know. So it was one of those moments. Yeah. We quickly learned that we did not need to have that moment at that time.
I'm really glad I wasn't there when they told me.
I'm pretty sure when you got there and we told you this story, I'm pretty sure we were both on the ground crying laughing because it was still like that humiliating. So we've gotten better. At least we're not crying laughing telling it this
story. And you know, it's like when you're there, it's different. I don't think it would have been.
I feel the embarrassment from here.
I got the picture.
You got it. Oh, I'm staying away from that gas station. Okay, anyway, we're jumping right in because today, well, we're not jumping right in, but now we're jumping in. We have a very important topic today, and it's one that we are asked about quite often. And okay, well, if you've seen the title, you know what it is. We're talking about women's roles today. Just in this last week, I've gotten 3 separate messages from people asking me about women's roles in the church, and someone even asking us to do an episode on it. So I was like, well, I guess we got to do it now. It's an important topic for us to cover because I think it means more coming from us, because we are Christian women who love to teach, we love to speak, we love to sing, but we know when scripture tells us it's appropriate to do so. One lady told me recently, she really thought she got me stumped. She said, well, let me ask you this. If women are to remain silent, then how do you have a Christian podcast? Girl, God never intended for women to not talk or share his word. That's our whole, the Great Commission. That's our whole being, is to share his word. When women were told to remain silent in 1 Corinthians 14, 34-35, which we're going to get into later on, that was in a setting of worship and leadership. The women's roles topic is one that is sensitive, and it's one that causes division. It's one, in this discussion, I pray that we're able to shine some light on this topic and God's truth, and realize that this is all in love. We love each and every one of you. So if this is a touchy subject, just realize that we're not trying to hurt your feelings or degrade you, and God is not either. And we're getting into that. I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah, I agree. And being a woman is such a beautiful role to have, because God created it. And we have a full episode on this, so we're super aware and we're super thankful for the purpose we have been given as his creation. But as Christian women, we also have to be obedient to the roles that he has clearly given to us. So while we go through this, I would say to please open your heart to the scriptures that we're giving you, because we aren't telling you what we think, but what we know because of scripture, and it's not our opinions. So if there is something you don't agree with, don't close your heart to listening, but search the scriptures. And we say that all the time. Reach out to us with questions or disagreements, and we will lovingly give you scripture to answer them. We are held to a standard of obedience, and we are told exactly what that looks like. And we have to remember that if we are truly wanting to be Christian women, because if you're not, then obviously none of this applies to you if you don't even want to follow it, just as anything else in Christianity. But as Christian women, it is not about what I want or what I think, but it's about what the literal speech of God is telling us to do. And we find that in scripture, of course. So when we are reading what God's word expects from us or gives us the direction as to what role we have, it is our job to completely immerse and settle into that role. So it in turn, it becomes who we are, and it isn't, and it's what we want as well. It becomes what we want. And that's all we want to express to you, because we want Christian women to settle into the unique role God has given.
Mm-hmm. Being a woman is beautiful, but that doesn't mean we aren't seen as beautiful if we aren't given or allowed the same roles and leadership positions in the church and the family. The feminist movement that is so popular today is a dangerous culture. To be a woman, a stay-at-home mom, a Christian spouse that submits to her husband isn't weak. We are designed differently to carry out different purposes and jobs, and that is beautiful.
And Brie referenced this. We did an episode on this. It's called Godly Womanhood, where we go more in depth about the women's roles in that aspect. So I do recommend going to listen to that. But that's a different topic than what we're covering today. But we do want to start out with saying that God put value in women from the very beginning. Starting from the beginning when he created us, you can see the value. In Genesis 2:18, it says that it is not good that man should be alone. So we see here when God created the woman, he made a situation good.
And I've been studying Genesis lately, and if we continue a few verses down, because these few chapters have been such a beautiful read, because if you go to verse 20, it says, "So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him." So after God had created all of these magnificent things, literally earth, but none of it could fill the void for Adam. Adam had a void that needed to be filled, and woman was created to fill it, and nothing else could fill that role.
Mm-hmm. And I think about how he created the Grand Canyon. He created the oceans and all of earth, like you said, and it still, like, the earth still needed woman. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to me, because I see all of these amazing things that God has created, and he still thought the world needed a Lois, the world needed a Brie, the world needed an Avery, and whoever is listening to this, the world needed you. And then in Proverbs 18:22, we're told that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor in the Lord. And then another passage I want to look at is Proverbs 31:10, which tells us that a virtuous woman was worth far more than rubies. Scripture makes it clear that women are valuable, and in the church, we believe the same. The world or other denominations want to paint a picture that the church doesn't represent or doesn't respect or value women, but that is so far from the truth. A godly woman is honestly put on a pedestal and considered a huge blessing.
A scripture that I wanted to bring in was 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." When I pulled up my Blue Letter Bible page on this verse, we were studying it all together, and I really struggled with understanding its intent. We live in a world where weak is always a negative thing. The Greek word translates it as weak, feeble, sickly, impotent, and I was confused on how Peter could describe us as weak, but right before it said to honor us. Brie and Lois really hit home with helping me understand the concept. We are weaker in aspects. Physically, we tend to be. We tend to be led by emotions instead of rationality and other aspects. But just because we have weaknesses does not take away our honor.
And my personal thought is exactly what Peter said, giving honor to the wife, right before he talks about being a weaker vessel, because how many women see the word weaker and automatically think degrading or put it in a negative light or a bad context? But actually, she's to be honored. And so I really appreciate that it does that in scripture. The center of the struggle we see women grasp in the world and people who claim to follow Christ in general is power. And the entire feminist movement is based around the desire for a position of power over men, and actually degrades men in attempt to get that position. Mm-hmm. There is a focus I feel that some women have where they begin to chase that position instead of desiring to build the honorable characteristics that's intended. Proverbs 31:25 says, "Strength and honor are her clothing." Why? Well, because of the characteristics a virtuous woman should have. She is chasing those characteristics and intentionally pursuing them, thus clothed with strength and honor, right? What we have to keep in the forefront of our mind is that position does not equal automatic honor and praise. Conforming to the pattern God has given us results in that honor. And I would ask, are we seeking godliness, truly seeking godliness? Are we seeking some type of position?
I wish that we had mics when we were all discussing this verse and this topic, because we were just sitting in my backyard and we were all just throwing our thoughts out, and it was quite overwhelming. But at the same time, it was just one of those things where it's like kind of put us into perspective too, where it's like, okay, it might be a negative thing where it is saying that women are weaker, but it's our role in and of itself is like, honestly, we have more power when we accept our role instead of trying to fight that our role. It's a humbling thing that we are weaker. That's how we were created to be. We are not as strong as men. We are more feeling led, more led by our feelings than men. But that's a good thing. That's what a woman was created for. So instead of us fighting against this and fighting to be all these things that a man is supposed to be, why are we not accepting our God-given role as women and living that out?
Yeah, the word helpmeet, not a clone.
And I think of Lydia and Phoebe and Lois and Eunice and Dorcas and Mary and Martha and Rahab and Esther and Ruth and all of these women in the Bible who are mentioned in Scripture for their roles and their godliness. Scripture paints a beautiful picture of them, a beautiful picture of women in their God-given roles. Lydia was a businesswoman who worshiped God in Philippi, and I was able to go to Philippi last year, and it was just so neat to see it put into perspective. So this speaks to me more so than some of the other examples, so I'm going to talk about her. But she learned the truth from Paul and then was baptized and hosted the missionaries in her home. Obey the truth, hosted these men. I love the story of Lydia because in no way does it degrade her for being a woman, but it shows her story in a beautiful light in the way that she was able to help. She learned the truth. She obeyed the truth. And then not only did she just obey the truth, like, okay, let me go on. She then hosted the men in her home and has her God-given role. I love that.
In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "When I call to remember the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded it is in you also." I thought it was only fitting to talk about Lois and Eunice since we have Lois on the pod. We read about Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and mother of Timothy, in 2 Timothy. We'll discuss later that being an example for others is a role women have for others, and is part of the role we see from Lois and Eunice. The faith they had was shown in Timothy. If their faith is what Paul sees in Timothy, then what an astounding faith they must have had. There's no description of a father or male example being a part of Timothy's upbringing, or his spiritual upbringing specifically. There are a lot of men I know whose spiritual leaders in the house were women. While this is not God's intention for the family, seeing that when it is needed and it happens can cause great things for the kingdom. When women teach their children how to live for God. There's another. Go.
I was going to say, we're going to talk about this more later on too, about how important that mother and grandmother role is and how beautiful it is. It is such a big role in having. Okay, we're going to get into it, so I'm not going to jump ahead. So go ahead.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, which I'm not going to read. But the passage tells us that Timothy has known the scriptures since childhood. He calls them the Holy Scriptures. This means he not only was taught by example, but also taught the doctrine, and this is a quote from the scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation. We must do both, be an example and a teacher.
Cabri, jumping ahead, could you turn to Galatians 3 and read verses 26 through 29? And then I'm going to go ahead and talk about Ephesians 5, verse 25. Which says, I think this is the most powerful example of a woman's worth in the Bible. And I don't know how anybody could say that a woman is not of value after reading this passage and the importance of it. So let's go ahead and read this, which says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." That is the highest form of love and the highest form of praise, where it's saying that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. We know how much Christ loved the church. We know that he literally gave his life for the church. That is the ultimate form of love. And that is how husbands are told to love their wives. That is how much value a woman, a wife has. And in scripture, we see this. And that's just something to me that is so eye-opening, is so mind-blowing. It's like the amount of love that Christ had for the church, that he literally died for us. That is how much our husbands are supposed to love us. And that is the value that God puts in us. Do you have Galatians?
What was it?
Galatians 3, 26 through 29.
"For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Just touching on this really fast, where in here it says the different things where you're comparing Jew, Greek, slave, free, male, female. There is neither male nor female. We know God is not a respecter of persons, and we know here that there's neither male nor female. In this aspect, God, a soul is a soul to God. However, there are different roles that we are given. So I did want to point this out of value. We are just as valuable as men. There's so much value in a woman. But now we're going to get into more of the roles in worship. And this is where we have different roles. So jumping into that, too many churches today are letting the world's influence creep in. The world is telling us that we're old school, we're sexist, we're traditional, you name it. But where are these people getting their ideas from? The world. The world that we live in. The only place that I want to look at how we should worship is in the book given to us from God, not from what those on this earth are doing.
Mm-hmm. House to House made a post the other day saying, people do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. Mm-hmm. It was such a, that's so true moment. The world, even those who claim to be Christians or are even in the church, follow the scripture when it fits their narrative. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't agree with what they think is right, then they ignore it or twist it.
And we've talked about this before, I think in our very first episode, talking about faith, a genuine faith, and or truth. I think it was
following truth.
We talked about this, and we so we know that we're very aware that it's out there. And I think everyone is pretty aware that it's out there. Even the people who do it, mm-hmm. I think they know what they're doing. But we also, we have this idea that we can worship any way that we want to. And I've seen that a lot lately in on social medias and everything, that we can do whatever makes us happy. And of course, we know that we must worship in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. So we are clearly given specific direction. We have to deny ourselves even when it pertains to things that we may not necessarily understand or that goes against what we want and our own desires. Mm-hmm.
In that House to House post, we were all sitting in my living room, and I think we're sitting in silence, as some do sometimes, you know, and I just went like, out loud, and they looked at me like, what, Lois? And so then I told them what the post was and how I immediately saw it, reposted it within like 2 seconds. And so they immediately pull out their phones and do the exact same thing. It's like immediate repost. It's just so good.
The world needs to hear that because I'm not sure if we unintentionally do it. Maybe sometimes, possibly, it can be unintentional, but it's something that's happening way too often, especially when it comes to women's roles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The passage this post was pulled from is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 through 15. And I felt like this was a passage worth bringing up before we dove into the roles God gives women in worship. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. This is a passage we touched on before in another episode, but we must not reject what the scripture says. We can't pick and choose how to follow him. Well, I mean, we can, but then we would be committing something like from Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 19. It says, if anyone adds to him the plagues that are written in this book, and if anyone takes away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. Mm-hmm. It's a serious matter.
Yeah.
It continues on in the verse. But when we discuss these things, people try to twist the scripture as cultural decisions. What does the scripture say? When it talks about head coverings, it says, we hold no such customs. But when it discusses worship, it has no wiggle room. It has no, but these were conditions pertaining to the times. We must remember the authority is seen through the word, not the world. The head coverings argument I discussed on, because some people like to bring that up, if you want to go read it, is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Now going to 1 Timothy, if you're able to grab your Bible and follow along with us, I don't want you to take our word for it. I want you to take God's. So let's start in chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1 says, therefore, I exhort first all the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I told y'all I've been really into looking up Greek words recently and diving deeper into it, how it's translated in English. And this is one of the passages where the Greek is so important here. So the Greek word for man is anthropos. which is translated mankind. So man as a whole, not specified to males. The specific definition is a human being, whether male or female. Which I personally, in this verse, am so thankful for that, because if it was only talking about men, where it says supplications, prayers, and intercessions, giving thanks be made of for all men, if it was only talking about men here, then that would mean that women can't pray to God, mm-hmm. which I can't imagine a life without mm-hmm. the avenue of prayer.
Yeah.
So I'm very thankful that it's talking about mankind in this verse.
I think that was a good distinction to make, because I have heard people question me and try to go to the extreme and say, well, mm-hmm. then I guess I can't pray at all. There's no need for dramatics in yes. this. And I'm glad you brought up the Greek to the discussion to really squash it, that with the original text, the accurate description of men mm-hmm. versus mankind.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't use scripture against itself. So I think I mean, I don't know God's thoughts, but sometimes I think he knew that people would try to do that. I mean, people try to do that to Jesus. So mm-hmm. you can't do that. And that's why I'm so thankful for looking at the Greek and being able to do that. And when God being so clear mm-hmm. with what he wants, and when people are like, no, but, and he's like, no, actually, here it is. So I'm thankful for that as well.
And again, if you're looking for a good source to look up the Greek side of this, Blue Letter Bible is an app, it's a website, and you can see the root meaning of the words. So I highly recommend looking that up. So now going on to verse number 4, it says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Again, we see the phrase all men here, which again, I'm so thankful that this is the one that refers to all mankind and not just males. God desires all of mankind to be saved. And I'm starting out here building a foundation on this. So because I know most people in the religious world are not arguing that women cannot pray mm-hmm. to the God. Mm-hmm. And most of them are not arguing that God does not want women to be saved. I'm just starting out this foundation so that we can see the clear change in it once we get further down. So now let's keep going into verse 5, which says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Okay, can you guess by now if this one's referring to man or to males only or to mankind? We see, again, this passage uses men to talk about all of mankind in Greek. So far, we have all men, mankind, are to offer prayers, supplications, and thanks. God desires all men and mankind to be saved, and there is only one mediator between God and men and mankind. Okay, so now we're going down to verse 8, which says, I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Here we see the shift change. The Greek word for men here is aneir, ? We're going to say that's right. I'm not Greek, but different from the other we...
Sorry,
guys.
We couldn't tell.
You're natural.
What are you talking about? I think that sounded perfect. Okay, serious topic here. Different from the other one we were seeing, this one refers to the male sex. We will see here that the man is the only one who is told to pray everywhere, meaning any place, any time. More specifically, meaning place is referred to as a meeting place. Really, if this wasn't referring to an assembly, then it would be saying that only men can pray at any place, which we've already discussed how we know that God wants everybody to pray to him. So based on the original wording and general principles of God wanting us all to pray to him, we can see that this passage is referring to leading a prayer in a assembly.
The Greek is so important. I wish those who cared so much about their light show during the assembly would care that much about truly understanding and studying mm-hmm. God's intent and the roles of male and female, and especially in worship.
Yeah, and I kind of think it's disheartening because you know that if there's a woman who is in a role that she should not be, you can know that they have not actually studied their scripture to show themselves approved.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obvious, and I'm not, you know, trying to be mean about it, but I mean, it's obvious by your actions and through matching it with scripture, because it doesn't match scripture.
And we're saying all of this in love. I know that we've said that in these episodes, and I know that this is a touchy episode. So this is a touchy subject. So if you are listening to this and you're a woman who believes that you have a role that is not given by God, please study with us. We've said this in every episode, and we continue to say it, that our DMs are open. We would love to study with you more in depth. We are not coming at you. We are not trying to put you down. We're genuinely yeah. just trying to show you scripture and just trying to open your eyes to the truth, because we want to go to heaven and we want you to come to heaven with us. Okay, now going forward to verses 11 through 12, we we can get into the controversial part more so. Here we go. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Here is one of those verses that'll make a feminist mad. So let's jump in. If we take this passage out of context, then this would mean a woman is not to have authority over a man in any time, any place, meaning a woman could not be a boss in a business. A woman could not teach in a school over a man, or a woman could not be a police officer because she would have authority over a man. Mm-hmm. So after studying the context, we can see that this is talking about an assembly.
Which is so important. Context, I mean.
Yes.
In worship, we are commanded to be silent. In most congregations, it's pretty clear cut. The announcements begin worship and end it with a closing prayer or song.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Paul is teaching here that a woman is not to teach and usurp a man. Ooh, we see all of the time women leading in worship services, but based on scripture, this is not biblical. How could a woman get up and teach without usurping the authority of a man? And I want to harp in here too, because we see at different conferences, I mean, you see it all over social media, you mm-hmm. see it in just churches driving down the road, you'll see a woman up there preaching, a woman leading in different aspects of singing and different aspects of worship. But how is this, according to God's word, how is this biblical? Mm-hmm. How could a woman be up there teaching in these aspects? And if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, I don't go to a church that has a woman leading, that's okay, then why are you sharing it on social media? Mm-hmm. That's an important thing too, because I've seen some ladies sharing. There's a popular women speaker who I'm not going to name, but there's a popular women speaker. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Who I see Christians posting all of the time, speaking at these events, passion. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This woman used to be a Christian. She used to claim to be a Christian. She still claims to be a Christian. However, she's leading worship services. Based on this passage, how could that be okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because I've seen a lot of people share it where it's mm-hmm. on stage and it's like everybody, like men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad that you brought that up, because us liking it, their message might be biblical. Like what they're saying out of their mouths might be biblical, but their actions in mm-hmm. saying those things are not. Mm-hmm. And so that's the same thing as someone saying something that isn't biblical, because mm-hmm. she's acting as though
there's a time and a place for
exactly
that.
Yeah. And I say this with all loving kindness, as all of us are, but if we're honest with ourselves, the only reason we won't accept that we are not the same as men as far as our roles, we're not equal, we're not lesser than, but we're not equal in our roles, and that's clear. We have roles. Scripture is clear about the roles that we have, especially in worship. But I think the only reason that we would have, why we won't accept it, is our own pride. And so the specific scripture I very clearly think of is 1 Corinthians 14. Also is it's very direct about what is desired from God in worship. Mm-hmm. And so And I'm not saying that maybe that you're a prideful person in every aspect of your life, but I'm saying if you are, and maybe you didn't even know that this was a thing, you know, mm-hmm. maybe you've been taught differently, and that's totally fine if you do change once you figure it out, right? And so what I am saying is that I just think that it's a pride issue as to the reason that, because what other reason do we have to not follow the roles that God has specifically given us?
It's just pleasing ourselves. And that goes into any topic that we have discussed about why we do this instead of mm-hmm. this, why we worship this way instead of this way, why we sin and anything like that, is because we're doing what we want and not mm-hmm. what God wants, because we are a selfish world. So I've heard the argument, and I want to go ahead and squash this, that...
Squash it like a bug.
Pretty much. So in 1 Timothy 2, verses 13 through 14, that's where we're going next. But the argument I wanted to talk about here is that it was just their culture. Mm-hmm. In scripture, it's telling a woman to be silent because that was their culture back then, but now not our culture. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you get the saying of we're old school or all of these things. But in verses 13 through 14, I want to go ahead and read that. In 1 Timothy 2, it says, "For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." So we see this is from the very beginning of time. And we were talking about this in a whole different topic of something that was set in place. What were we talking about? Something was set in place at the very beginning.
Modesty.
We were talking about modesty. Yeah. We got to bring up modesty in every episode.
Every time.
But it was set in place from the very beginning. It's not that we are culturally, or if it was a culture issue back then or anything. We see that it was set for the very principle mm-hmm. of this was set from the very beginning of time that mm-hmm. Adam was first. Eve was the first one to sin. And sorry, you have a thought? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you're going to use that argument for this, then you would have to use that argument for everything, every commandment God has ever given us, which then in turn means that why are you even following Christianity if you're going to...
culture.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah,
it doesn't really make sense.
No, it doesn't. So,
You got it?
Well, the girls and I, we watched a video on another topic the other day, and it discussed for a lengthy amount of time how culture changes. And the standard based on where you are or who you're with. Mm, mm-hmm. But does salvation change? Does the need for Jesus change? Does sin change? No. So that should never be a valid argument in our minds when it comes to scripture. God's word never changes. We see that in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord and I do not change. Mm-hmm.
My thing is, like you just said, there are things that we don't argue with in the religious world. We don't argue that you need to have one faith. We don't argue that you need to love God. We don't argue these things. So why do we argue that things are cultural mm-hmm. that we want to argue?
Yeah.
Everything. So we pick and choose the cultural mm-hmm. things. Like, well, this isn't cultural. You know, that makes sense. We need to love God. Okay, but why is it cultural that a woman is to remain silent? Mm-hmm. Why would that be cultural but not something else when we know that God is not the author of confusion? And we also know that God's word never changes, as you just said. He is the same for Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever as well. We're out of time. We're going to have to break this into a two-parter again. Okay. Do we want to go ahead and cut it here? Or do we want to keep going?
I would say yes.
Yeah, go ahead and cut it here. Okay, ladies, we're going to make this a two-parter as well, just like What Love Is Not last week. We love each and every one of you, and we thank you for listening. I know I end every episode saying we love you, but we truly do love you, and that's why we are covering these topics, because we know that it's not really a fun one to hear at times, especially if you're living in it. But it's because we love you and because we want you to go to heaven with us. Look us up on social media. Our Instagram is sisters.podcast. Our DMs are always open. If you have any questions or if you want to study with any of us, we would love to at any point of time. We'll see you next week for part 2. Bye.